Good morning again. Thank you for being here with us for our Grad Sunday service. It wasn't hot outside, but it was a little hot outside earlier. Between that and calling your own daughter's name up front and then her singing in the service and me just thinking about all that stuff. I feel like jelly legs a little bit, I'm almost gelatinous right here in front of you and just kind of and then some of you, you're like, well, it's May 4th, and if you're a science fiction theology person, you're like, oh, he's got to do a Star Wars. Nope. No Star Wars references during the service today. I'm sorry. You can go on any social media account and find tons of them today. Today we are Grad Sunday service. I do want to start off, though, by talking about a movie. I watched a movie not too long ago. It was about the Naval Academy. When I say it was about the Naval Academy, like very loosely about the Naval Academy, right? They took a lot of creative license in this movie, but it was set at the Naval Academy, and it was set in some of the stuff that goes on. And if you're like me and you realize anything that you watch or anything that you click on, the other technology things that you have, they're paying attention, right? So I watched this Naval Academy movie, and guess what I start seeing on my Facebook feed the next day? All these videos about the Naval Academy, right? And one of the videos that I saw was a large group of people standing on a dock in this massive ship on the dock. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of counting down or whatever, and all of a sudden this ship splashes into the water, right? And then, of course, it floats and everybody's celebrating. And so I texted a friend of mine who's in the Navy. I said, help me understand what's going on here. I said, because I want to make sure we got something coming up, and I think this fits into what we're doing. And it's called commissioning the ship. It is taking this ship that has been built and has been created and to that point has been on land, and now they are putting it in to do what it was built to do. The same thing is true a lot of times of services that are tied to sending missionaries out into the world. We call it a commissioning service. Sending this person or this group of people out into the world to do the very thing that God created them to do and what they were built for anyway. And so today, what I want us to think about is that this is a Grad Sunday service. We are commissioning these students to go out. You heard all the different places that they're going to go, multiple states, different colleges, workplaces, and who knows where else life is going to take them between now and the time they meet Jesus. And during that time, we are commissioning today to send them out into the world to do the very thing that you were created to do. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we finish up the book of Matthew. If you've been here with us, you know we've been working our way through it, and we are there. The final three verses. And very, very familiarly, very famously, these verses are known as the Great Commission. It's Jesus talking to his disciples for one of the final times, and he is telling them, you are going to go and do the very thing that I have created you to do, the very thing that you have been built to do. So what is that? What is that thing? That's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get into it, I do want to go ahead and pray for us. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. We thank you for these students and the families that are represented here in our Grad Sunday service. Lord, we pray over them, for them, Lord, that they would be found faithful in all the places that life takes them as they go out into the world and to school and to work. Lord, that you would open their eyes to the opportunities they have just to make an impact by being obedient, by loving and serving. Help us as a church to support them in all the places that life takes them. How can we continue to minister to them and their families? Today, as we study your word, let us be challenged and transformed by it, transformation being a big theme, and go out and be different in all the places that you send us this week. Let us go out and love you and point people to the cross. In your name we pray, amen. Again, if you've been here with us any time over the past couple of years, you know we've been working our way through the book of Matthew. We are over 100 sermons into this particular book. And so probably each time, Matt has mentioned the theme of the book of Matthew. Maybe you're like me and you're like, I could probably quote it, but I'd get some words mixed up. Well, I'm fixing to help you out because it is our big idea today. How could we not finish the big idea with the theme for the book that we've been talking about now for 2 years? Jesus is King. We are called to build his kingdom. That is the big idea for today's message. So let's look at these verses that that and some others today that are going to help point us in that direction, but we're going to be in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, specifically to start with. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." These disciples were in standing in the face and on the precipice of a transition. Life was going to be different than anything they had ever known from that point forward. And the reality is, for each of you as students, life is fixing to be different from this point on than anything you've ever known or experienced. You can't imagine some of the things and the circumstances that are going to be thrown your way, good and bad. But God has a plan for you as He sends you out. He doesn't send you out ill-prepared. He sends you out and you're ready. You may not realize it. You're ready to do the things that God is calling you to do right now, and He'll continue to grow you as you move forward. Today we're going to talk about four specific transitions, things that need to change a little bit if we're going to do and think about the Great Commission in the way that Jesus presents it to us here in Matthew 28. The first thing is the word, most of it just means short words and phrases, is the word go. We have to think about the word go, because the word go is a transition from preparation to action. For 3 years, the disciples had been on a crash course training session. They had been walking around with Jesus. They had heard Him speak. They had seen Him do miracles. They had heard Him teach. They'd seen Him serve. They'd seen Him call some folks out. Like, they had been around Jesus for 3 years, just soaking up everything about Him. And that's fixing to change. He had called them to do some stuff. He had told them, "Hey, don't forget, you need to go ahead of me and do this. And while we're over here, help take care of this." He had been giving them little pieces of responsibility and little things to take care of. But for the most part, they had been in a season of training. Training is important. Jesus had been in a season of planning. He knows He's leaving. He knows He's going to be gone. He knows He's going to ask these guys and these women that are His followers, are He going to call them to do something much bigger than themselves? He's been planning for this for the entire time. Planning is important. But we can't get stuck in the training and the planning. Gathering together is important. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, wherever it is, if you attend another church and you have different gatherings at different times, small groups, large groups, all of the gathering stuff matters. But please understand, Great Commission ministry does not happen in the gathering. He didn't tell His disciples, "Gather together." He told them to go. That's where Great Commission ministry takes place. It takes place in the highways and the byways, as one of the parables that Jesus talks about. For you students, it takes place at the lunch tables at your schools and in your math classes and your English classes. For all those here that are workers, it takes place in the office, or it takes place in the work truck. It takes place as you're going fishing with a friend, sitting in the truck, and you're heading to the lake. That's where Great Commission ministry takes place. It's any and every location that we find ourselves in. We are called to go. We're going to get two go scriptures. One from Matthew 28, verse 7, which we've looked at very recently, when the angel is sitting there with the women and he tells them, "Go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead." Look, just think about what the angel is saying. Go and testify to what you have seen and what you have heard. Right? You have seen the empty tomb. You've heard us talk about it. Go and tell the other people that's what's going on. In Mark chapter 5, we see the healing of a demon-possessed man. This guy, for good reason, Jesus heals him of some demons, and the guy's like, "I'd like just to hang out with you for a while." Who wouldn't? Jesus just healed this guy, miraculously. He says, "I would like to just go hang out with you, Jesus," and Jesus doesn't let him, which may seem awkward. It may seem weird, but what does Jesus tell him to do? This is what He says. Jesus did not let him go, but He said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." What has He just told this man? Go tell your family and friends what happened. Go tell your family and friends about this life-transforming interaction that you have now had with Jesus the Christ. That's what we are to go and to do. So why don't we go? I think there are a variety of reasons maybe why we don't go. But But I'm going to offer one, and it may be in your notes. I think sometimes we don't go, and we get stuck in the preparation because that's easier than action. It just is. It's more comfortable to sit in the preparation part. It's more comfortable to say, I'm planning something. It's more comfortable to say, I'm praying about that. That's easy and that's comfortable. It's a whole lot harder to actually take the step. I think about Peter as he's on that boat. Jesus says, step on this water. It would have been a whole lot easier for Peter to say, I'll think about it later. Next time we happen to be on the water and you ask me to walk on it. But Peter just does it. Action is difficult for the believer. Every morning is an approach to the starting line, like a race. And we just need to imagine that God's right there with the starter pistol. And he says, ready, get set, go. Every day. I want to go. Now to do that, if I'm going to have the mindset of going from preparation to action, the second transition is important. It's therefore. It's the transition from control to submission. I should have switched those two, if we're being honest. About 24 hours ago, I thought about it. I was like, I'm going to mess myself up if I start trying to rearrange it last minute like that. I think this would have made more sense going first. But the transition from control to submission, there's an adage, I don't know if it's an old adage, it may be, it may not be, where if you're looking at literature, you're reading something and you're trying to analyze a work, if you see the word therefore, then you ask the question, what is the therefore? Therefore. I need to understand, it's a word that does some connecting from one concept to another, and we need to understand what that connection is. So when Jesus says, go therefore, he very well could have said, therefore go, what is he pointing to? Well, part of it he's pointing to what he just said in verse 18. He says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. I have the authority, because I have the authority, and because you say you follow me, I'm telling you now, go. Last Sunday, we were in our Connect groups, and I had some sophomores and juniors and seniors in class together, and we were just talking about the cost of following Christ as we were looking at the ministry of Elisha, kicking off the ministry of Elisha. I said, what's the cost of following Christ? And one of the students, I'm going to paraphrase it, but I'm going to get the meaning in there. They said, really, the cost of following Christ is submission. Is submitting to him. Jesus has authority and Jesus is in control. The Greek word for authority here is that word up there in blue. You can see it and read it. It says, and this is what it means. It is the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Emphasis is mine. Must be submitted to. This is not the great consideration. This is not the great recommendation. This is the great commission based on the authority of Jesus. So when he says, go and I have the authority, he is saying, you must submit to me and obey and do the thing that I have called you to do. The reality is, for the Christian, there's no real alternative other than true submission. Which is hard because we like control. But Jesus says to die to ourselves daily, to take up our cross and to follow him, to lean not on our own understanding in the Old Testament, right? Not on my own understanding. Why? Because my understanding is mixed up and messed up. I've got to submit to him and follow. Revelation 19:16 says this, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is worthy of our submission. He is worthy of our following him. If we think about the Great Commission, I believe it can be truly true and said that I won't go if I don't submit. Sometimes we don't go because we haven't submitted to the authority of Christ in our life. The third transition that we see It says to make disciples. When we think about making disciples, we're talking about a couple of, like it's a couple of different transitions. One is from death to regenerated, from death to life in Christ, and then we go from regenerated to glorified when we go to heaven. Okay? So there's this concept of a couple different transitions that take place when we talk about making disciples. That's what we're called to do by the authority in Christ. He says, go and make disciples. Verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Two of the great Christian S words portrayed in this verse. One is salvation. We are broken vessels. We are imperfect. But we take a glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And Scripture says that gospel has the power to save. Over the past couple of weeks, as we've cross-referenced and looked at some other verses, we've been in 1 Corinthians 15 a pretty good bit. I want to read a couple of verses again from 1 Corinthians 15. This is Paul, the great Paul. He says this about the gospel. He says, For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. The most important thing that I could tell you, I told you. He says, and this is what it was, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Paul says, the gospel is the most important thing that I could tell you. He traveled from place to place, and he went and he preached the gospel, and he rose up people of faith, and he planted churches, and he taught them how to do all of this stuff. But he said, the most important thing, of first importance, what do I got to tell you? I have to tell you about what Jesus has done for you at the cross that we've been talking about for the past few weeks here on Sunday morning. And every one of us as believers is called to this. Ephesians 2:10 talks about these good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Please understand, if you're a believer in this room, one of the good works that God has called you to walk in is sharing the gospel with others. It is the telling of who he is to the world that is around you. Salvation is key. We want to see people go from death to life because of their faith in Christ. But it doesn't stop there. The other S word is sanctification, this process of growing more like Christ for the rest of my life, from the day of my salvation to the day of my glorification, every day in between, growing to be more and more like him. So where do we see that in those verses? What did it tell us to do? It said to teach everything that I have commanded you. We have to walk with people to teach them what God has commanded us. We have to understand it ourselves, and there's some things we don't get. God's not demanding perfect understanding of our scriptures to go out and tell people about who he is and help teach the Bible to others, right? But we got to dig in on our own. We teach the scriptures and we demonstrate how to live them out in our daily lives. We help people find areas to serve, and then we nurture that in them, and we walk with them and we support them. Here's the problem. It can happen to a church. It can happen just to we get in the mindset of we can't just share the gospel, see someone get saved, baptize them, and then say, good luck. Good luck for the next 50 years of your life as you try to figure out how to follow Jesus. Good luck. I'm glad that we got to dunk you in the water. I'm glad we got to baptize you. I'm glad we got to see your salvation. That's great. Happy hunting as you try to figure out this life of faith going forward. We have to be with people through the sanctification process as they become more like Christ. Paul is a great picture of this. As you look at the letters of Paul, and maybe not everyone exactly, but a lot of them have a very similar format. On the front end of the letter, there'll be some theology, and there'll be some gospel stuff, and this is what it talks about, salvation. And it's by grace, through faith, that you can be saved, not by works, so that any man can boast. All these things about the gospel, but a lot of times he'll also talk about, hey, because of salvation, you should live like this. Because of salvation, your life should be impacted in this way. He talked about salvation, and then he talked about sanctification. He was a traveling evangelist, but he didn't let people off the hook and say, now that you're saved, you're done. No, once you're saved, that's the beginning of the rest of your life of faith. What is God calling you to do? Salvation and sanctification. Baptize and teach. If we submit to Christ, if we get active in our faith, I honestly believe that we will see people transition from life or from death to life through the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And if we walk with them, we will see them grow and to the point of their glorification. Transition number four. All nations. The transition from me focused to them focused. So where should we go? He says, go. Where? Matt mentioned, we talked about it in the first service, how I wasn't always, I know Matt had a hand in picking the verses, and when he picked the verse from Isaiah to be our memory verse for today, and he did that months ago, knowing that today would be Grad Sunday, knowing that that's a verse that really has some importance to them. Well, I had to do a wedding in Savannah Thursday and Friday of this week, which means I had to finish all my sermon stuff on Tuesday so that I could have everything done and everything turned in to the office. And so we had to get a little ahead. So I had not looked ahead at all to what the verse was coming up. And many of you may know this because you pay attention. I'm flipping pages. Like, I transcribe the message. I try not to just read it to you, but I transcribe pretty much everything. So this is what I wrote down probably Monday last week. Right here, ultimately, may we have the heart of Isaiah, who boldly stated, here I am, send me. Isaiah didn't care where he went. Some of these students have an idea of where they're going in August, but they may not know where they're going to be next August. They may not know where they're going to be in 4 Augusts from now. Can we have the mindset and the attitude of Isaiah, who went from me focused, because he was me focused. Because what did he say? I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among the people of unclean lips. Can't use. And God says, I can take care of that. Transforms Isaiah with the hot coals. That had to be kind of weird, right? And then he says, well, who will go for me? And then Isaiah goes from me focused, I can't do this, to them focused. Here I am. Just send me out. Pour me out. That's the attitude that we have to have. We are called to make disciples everywhere. That scripture says, all nations. I did a little more Greek work for you. Looked up that Greek word all. Guess what it means? All. It's not fancy. It's not tricky. All nations. All nations. Every college campus that you touch foot on, every person's house that you go work at, every home that you help build is a part of all nations. Every place that you work, every home member's house that you go to, every place that you go hang out, that's all nations. Guadalajara, Boston, La Esperanza, Turkey, all nations. We don't pick and choose. We don't say just this one or just this one. We don't say that, well, there's lost in Moultrie, so we shouldn't go everywhere else. Yes, there are lost in Moultrie. We should be reaching Moultrie. We should be reaching Moultrie. Now, you add in all the other believers around the county, we should be reaching Moultrie. So we can do that and we can do others at the same time. It's crazy how that works. We have to transition to thinking about others, especially their relationship, their lack of relationship with Christ. Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. By all means, we should see needs, meet needs, and love people well. But do not miss the chance to share the gospel. That is what we were called to do. That is what we were created in Christ to do, to be a vessel of the reality of who he is. We spread the gospel in Moultrie, Georgia, in the United States, and around the world. Because Revelation gives us a picture of what this is going to look like when it's all said and done. We get a glimpse through the eyes of John through the window of heaven. We see Revelation 7:9. Behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. And where were they? Standing before the throne. That's why we are to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, because that's what the kingdom's going to look like when it's all said and done. So let's get to work getting it started right now. We We're not trying to go out and win arguments. That's me-centered. We're not trying to be the loudest person and the last person that talks. That's me-centered. We're trying to win people to Christ, to live in such a way to point them to the cross and the reality of the gospel that we've talked about today, to share with them the powerful truth of that gospel, truth of Christ. So where is your mission field? It's everywhere you go every day. It's when you have opportunities. As a church, we try to have opportunities. We would love to make this yearly where we have opportunities to go outside of Moultrie. Whether that's Boston in September, whether that's Guadalajara on a summer trip. Who knows what it may be going forward? We've got connections in Paris and Turkey and Indonesia. Who knows what these may turn into? But there may be some opportunities to go outside of Cockle County, to go outside of Georgia, to go outside of the United States. But don't forget to do it here as well. We have to transition from me-focused to them-focused because the big idea tells us that Jesus is King and we are called to build His kingdom. As these students enter into a season of transition, may we all think about our lives and what transitions may need to be made for us. How are we going to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the things that He has commanded us to. How are we ever going to do that? Because He told us at the end, I'm with you always. If you're a believer here today, you have a job to do, and I have a job to do. We're called to go make disciples. We're called to be vessels of the gospel. Maybe you're here and you don't have saving faith in Christ. Maybe today you are understanding the gospel and the reality of what Jesus did for you, and the weight of it is just really hitting you for the first time, and you want to. And today may be the day of your salvation. You want to talk to somebody, or maybe you've got questions about what does it mean and you want to set up an opportunity just to meet or chat later on this week. Please, by all means, do that. We would love to connect with you today or later this week about any questions that you may have. As we get ready to enter into a time of invitation in just a second, the invitation is really just an opportunity to be obedient to whatever it is that God has called you to do. Sing where you're at, come down front and pray, talk to somebody, whatever it is that you are called to do. I want to leave you with this quote, which is pretty powerful. It's a quote that's tied to evangelism and it's tied to spreading the gospel. And it's going to be on the screen, and I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, if you believe there's a heaven and a hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think it's not really worth telling them this because it would be socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I have to tackle you. And this is more important than that. Where'd that guy preach last Sunday? That's pretty good. What seminary did he go to? Right? He probably can quote the whole King James Bible talking like that, right? Penn Jillette. Anybody? Some people may not have a clue who that is. He's the talky person in the Penn and Teller magician act. He's the one that does the talking. In their act, big guy, well-known atheist. When I first heard that he said that years ago, I could not believe it. I said, there's no way this guy said that. You can Google it. You can find the video. It's him sitting in front of a video years ago talking about an interaction that he had with a believer that happened to be at his magic act one day. The believer walked up and he handed him a Bible and they had a quick conversation. And he goes back to, looks like maybe even a hotel room or his home, and he goes back and he just records this. He doesn't believe it, but he says, if you believe it, how can you not tell people about it? If we believe that it's true, how can we not? There's a truck driving full speed ahead at some people that we know and people we love, and we need to get to them first with the truth, the reality of the gospel. Part of making disciples of all nations, part of going, part of submitting to the authority of Jesus is even doing it here and everywhere God takes us this week. In just a few minutes, we're going to walk out of this room and you're going to step out into your week. Work will start for some of you mentally almost immediately. Some of you will have to actually get in there and do something today. But what if you looked at it as an opportunity to be your go this week? Students, what if you looked at school as an opportunity to be your go this week? What if you looked at your team as an opportunity to be your go this week? What if you looked at your club as your opportunity to be your go this week? What if you looked at your class as an opportunity to be your go this week? Man, if we'll just do what God called us to do right here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Let's go and do what God created us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning and the opportunity we have to celebrate these students today, very specifically. But most importantly, Lord, I thank you that you give us the opportunity to be part of this mission. You are the King. We are called to build your kingdom. How do we do that? Well, we do that first by being a part of your kingdom through our own salvation in Jesus Christ. Then once we're saved, and once we're going through this process of sanctification, part of that process is just being willing to go out and to tell people about who you are. Tell people about what we know and what we've seen, what we've experienced in our relationship with you. I pray that you would give these students a boldness. Everywhere where you send them, from this day forward, that you would give them a boldness to live out their faith. With a desire to see the people around them go from death to life, and then they get a chance to walk with them through that life and see them grow. Well, Lord, we thank you as a church that we've had a chance to do that with these students, and I pray that we would continue to do that well. As we go to this time of invitation, Lord, there may be some that don't know you. Maybe today is the day of their salvation. Maybe there's somebody here that knows exactly who they need to talk about. Maybe we could just pray some encouragement to them and with them. Whatever it is that you would call us to do, let us do it. In your name we pray. Amen.